Hi, I'm Dan. I'm a food addict.
Hi, Dan.
And glad to be here. Thanks so much to those who organized this. I mean, nothing is a win-win like sponsorship. I mean, it's like this economy where you give money to somebody, and they get the money, and you keep the money, too. It's like this, everything increases. It's awesome. This workshop is so organized. There's a tradition against that. I think we're violating all traditions about being organized. Just don't tell intergroup. Oops, this is intergroup. And so I am a poster child for how not to be a sponsor, and I'll tell you why. I've been sponsoring for a couple dozen years. I sponsored maybe 100 guys, a couple women, you know. And I was thinking the other day, of all those, I can count one who has long-term abstinence. One. And another couple that have medium-term abstinence. And I'll tell you why, as I go through my talk, why I'm an awful sponsor in that regard. But there are two metrics that are great. One is I've been sober and abstinent for 24 years, whatever I am. And so, it's just like in the Big Book, when Bill's complaining to Lois about he's working with all these drunks, and no one's getting sober, and she's like, yeah, but you're sober, you know? And it's all about me. So it really does work. And also, the truth is, of these other, you know, handful of guys I have sponsoring right now, they're all abstinent today. Today is all we ever have. And I really believe that. I people have heard my story. Only time I ever say how long I've had or even think about how long I've had is when I'm leading a meeting. Beyond that, it's just one day. It really is just one day. And I had well over a year before I knew I had a year, because I couldn't count because it messed me up. So it's keeping me abstinent. It's keeping my sponsors abstinent just for today. And, you know, what more can you have than that? I'll go through my questions here, and I have a lot of thoughts that have been sparked by the previous speakers. Thanks so much. I wasn't going to make notes, but I took all these notes while they were talking. And so here's the questions that were posed to me. My sponsee is not following through on our agreement to call at regular time and hasn't kept her commitment. What should I do? My sponsee asks for help suggestions, but when I offer suggestions, she is help rejecting, i.e. gets defensive and makes excuses or agrees and then doesn't follow through. What should I do? My sponsee cannot get more than 3 days of continuous abstinence. What can I do? My sponsee has stopped calling me and there's been no closure. What should I do? Breaking up is hard to do. When to say when? So my thoughts on all these questions are they are completely irrelevant. The only question that matters is, am I getting something out of this relationship? Am I staying abstinent? That's all there is to it. I can get something out of someone who's been binging their brains out for 10 years or who's got 10 years of golden abstinence. Whatever it is, if I'm getting something out of it, that's my metric for whether I should do it. And like others have mentioned, for me, it's all about the steps. That's the juice. When I hear that step work, I get that front row seat to a spiritual change, to that profound personality change. And, of course, I get it myself because I'm saying things that, you know, that I need to hear. And so I think the reason I'm not a great sponsor is I'm completely hands-off. I'm completely laissez-faire. If somebody wants me to sponsor them, I'll say, great. Here's what the only thing I ask is just be honest. Just be honest. And we'll do the steps. And we'll meet once a week before or after a meeting, usually, and we'll do step work. And if you call me every day, I would welcome it. And if I can't pick up, I'll call you back. But beyond that, there's no structure. And I say, and I warn them all, most people don't stick with this because I have no structure at all. I don't want to shit on myself, but it would be helpful if I had more structure for my sponsorees. All I say is, you know, next Thursday before the meeting or whatever, let's get together in whatever step we're on. And they say, yeah. And then they fall by the wayside. And I was laughing, it's kind of mean, but the last week when I was thinking about this, I'm officially sponsoring someone whose name I couldn't remember because they called me like 4 months ago. I met him maybe once, and they said, got your number from so-and-so. Can we work the steps? I'm like, cool. And we've been doing it over the phone. And then they stopped calling me. And they just called this week, so I remember their name again. But for that reason, I usually have 6 or 7 or 8 sponsorees, and I can never remember how many I have. Because usually only 1 or 2 show up to do the step work that week. So if I have 6 or 7, and I get 1 or 2, because I need that juice. I need that step work. And so just this morning, before my home meeting, the Saturday morning resting meeting, I met with somebody and we did step 8. We did step 7 last week. He did a step 7 last week. We started planning step 8. And I feel much better when I do that. I really do. And those phone calls help me out because this disease is one of short-term memory loss. I have temporary insanity. I forget all the time that I'm a food addict and that there is a higher power that can relieve my obsession. And when I get those phone calls, then it reminds me, oh, yeah, it resets the amnesia. Now, I laugh. My wife's in program, and she talks to her sponsorees for a long time, and they talk a long time, and we hit it and quit it, you know. And But what happens is when they call me, I'm thinking, I see the number come in, I'm like, I just talked to him yesterday, what could I possibly talk about today? And so I pick up the phone, because that morning I've turned my will and my life over to my higher power. And I have to say specifically, Dan, that means when your sponsorees call, pick up the phone. Because what happens is the first 2 or 3 minutes, I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to get into it. Then I start saying things I need to hear, and I start getting the juice. And after, when I hang up, I feel like $1 million. And I'm like, tomorrow, I can't wait till they call tomorrow. I'm going to pick it up and talk and feel great. Tomorrow they call, I'm like, I just talked to them yesterday. Why are they calling me again today? So I need that external structure where they keep calling me to relieve my temporary insanity. And to have that kind of joy of recovery. Because it really is... As someone who used to come to this fellowship says, I'm not much, but I'm all I think about. And it's all about me, you know? And so that's like, and beauty is you don't have to be a wizard at all. And I started early on in my first year because somebody asked me. Because if all I'm doing is working the steps, and if the steps are so clearly laid out in our literature, in the OA workbook or in the AA 12 and 12, there's very clear-cut directions. All I get to do is say, here's the instructions. Let's do this. Talk to you next week. You know, and then I get to witness when they say whatever they're doing or write whatever they're doing. I'm not the higher power. I'm not the judge. I get to let go and let God. And I have to remember that all the time. I have no idea what's best for them. I drive some of them crazy because I won't tell them what to do. Probably because I don't know. And partly, if I did, it would be an intrusion on their lives. I'd be taking away their lessons, you know? And so I'm very much hands-off. And I just have to say, what step are we on? What step are we on? And they do sometimes often want to slip into how their day is going. And if I let that go too long, when I hang up, I have a resentment, you know? And we get together once a week to do step work. They want to tell me how the week was. I got a resentment. And so I'll say, what step are we on? What step are we on? You know? And I'm not good at being a food sponsor. If you want to email me your food or call it in, that's great, but I will actually ignore it. You could be calling in ice cream sundaes for breakfast, and I wouldn't even notice, you know? It's really all about what step are we on, and that really helps me out a lot. I love that thing about I'm not responsible. And I like how they say, I'm not in AA, but I go to a lot of open meetings. I love AA. I read the big book. They say, we carry the message, not the mess, you know? And I got some sponsorees or have had who have a real mess, and I had to remember... First of all, another reason to sponsor, thank you God that I'm not them, because it really gives me a gratitude shot. But also, I don't know what to do, and that's good I don't know what to do, because I didn't know what to do for me, let alone for them. If we both stay out of the way, then our higher power, its higher power, her higher power, his higher power, can come in and can fix it, because that's the only solution. That really is. It's only a spiritual solution here. And that's really kind of what I do. The beauty of it is because as an addict, I equate being an addict with being a malcontent. Always something wrong. Always something wrong, you know? And that prison of self, that self-obsession. So when I sponsor others, I get that shot of spirituality from helping them out. And I get that reprieve from the insanity about my disease. But also I feel a sense of purpose in my life. And that's... For me, it's really important to have a sense of purpose in my life, to really feel like I'm doing something valuable. I have a good career, and I'm trying to be of service in my career. I'm a father, I'm a husband, and I try and do a good job on all those things. But when I help somebody else, I'm uniquely qualified. I have an addiction to food, and I've been given a spiritual solution to that addiction from food, and I get to give it away. You know, and that's what I'm uniquely qualified for. So really, if all I do is help other people get abstinent and stay abstinent, that's my purpose in life. And it really helps me go to bed feeling like, okay, because I have low self-esteem, or I've had it before the program, and I actually did good in this world today. I really did good. And people love that. You know, anybody who volunteered to clean up after Hurricane Katrina, they volunteer for the local shelter. People love to help and feel good. And so when I do this, it's like magnified because I'm uniquely qualified to do that. And I can't put it on my resume or my tombstone or on Facebook, you know. It's very anonymous, which actually makes it a little more valuable. And so that really helps me out a lot. It's really interesting because, again, as an addict, I'm addicted to feeling good. And when I sponsor somebody, I feel good. So I want to do it more, you know. Of course, I have that temporary insanity the next day when they call me. But when I do pick up the phone or get together, then I feel good again, and all is well. And as long as if I can talk to my sponsorees, all is well. If I talk to my sponsor every day when I do my 10-step at night, I check that I talk to my sponsor. I talk to a sponsoree live. And if I do that, I can feel like, okay, it just calms me right down because I'm always unsettled. Or, you know, before fellowship, before recovery, I can always be unsettled. I settle right down. And I mentioned, you know, call my sponsor, call my sponsoree. For me, it has to be in that order. For me, anyway, I put the oxygen mask on first, and then I can talk somebody else out, you know. Because, I mean, either way, I get a boost either way. If I notice, if I've talked to my sponsorees and haven't called my sponsor, I'm getting a little resentful at them, even though they have no idea what my schedule is that day. But if I call my sponsor and blah, then I can talk to my sponsorees all day long and feel giving. So it really helps me out. I like the saying about, you know, do somebody a favor and ask them to sponsor you, you know, because you really help them out. And even more, do somebody's sponsor a favor by asking them to sponsor you, because their sponsor is going to notice an immediate difference in them because they're sponsoring you. They're going to settle right down, and their sponsor's job is going to get a lot easier because they've got a job now to sponsor you, and it's just a win-win all the way up and down the line. And so when I, in my first year of abstinence, before someone had just asked me to sponsor them, and I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? So the intergroup I was in New Hampshire had a workshop just like this about how to be a sponsor. And I'll always remember what somebody said. She said, if your sponsoree is ready, nothing you say will be wrong. And if they're not ready, nothing you say will be right. You know, it's really not about you at all. It's all about them. And it always has calmed me down as the years have gone by. You know, that's really kind of my experience with how we do this is just working through the steps. That's really it, and everything else is no. We only have suggestions in this fellowship, and everything else is they want to call me every day or call me once a month. You know, do it by Skype because they're overseas. As long as we work the steps, and the steps are very clear. And the beauty is, it's like step one is the only one that's an attitude. You know. We admitted we were powerless, you know, our life's unmanageable, and those two are the same thing. But even that, there's work you can do. You can have them write about how their life's unmanageable. But step two, it's a very simple question in the Big Book. Do I now believe, or am I willing to believe, that there's a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity? And sanity being, not I need a straitjacket, but sanity being the lack of the hot stove mentality, where I swear I'm not going to eat that food. Afterwards, I'm full of remorse, but in the middle, I have temporary insanity. That's what can be restored to by our higher power. And step three is an out loud thing you say. It's a prayer you say, a suggestion. So it's not like it's hard as a sponsor to say, what do we do step three? Read the Big Book. Here's the prayer. You know, get ready, but say the prayer of your own choosing in front of me, or I don't care, in front of anybody, you know. Step four, very clear cut. You fill in like cells in an Excel spreadsheet. Resentful at, why, my fault, you know, what have they done for me? Pray for them. Check. So it's really, I like that a lot because it takes this big, vague, scary thing, and for me, let alone my sponsorees, and says, here, fill in this cell. Who are you resentful at? And that's the best. The AAs were brilliant. There are many ways to do a personal house cleaning and a personal inventory, but the shortcut for an addict is resentments. Because they're so easy, they're right on the surface, and if you pull that spring of resentment, all of my character defects come up, so it's like a shortcut. You know, and step five is admit to God, to ourselves. I mean, so you say it out to God, say it to yourself in front of the mirror, and then come tell your sponsor, you know. And step six is entirely ready. It's just like step one, kind of. It's very clear cut, you know. See what they're causing, what the defects are causing, the pain versus the benefit, what they're doing for me rather than and to me, and all this kind of stuff. And seven is another prayer out loud in front of a sponsor or somebody else, you know. Eight, another list. Check. You know, write down who did I harm? Maybe. Here's what I did. Talk to the sponsor. Yes, no. If it's yes, what's the script? If it's no, check, you know. And 10, you know, the Big Book, it's got, you know, resentful, dishonest, selfish, you know, self-seeking, afraid. And I do that, and it really helps me kind of do that, you know, check it off. And 11, prayer and meditation. Go find your own whatever. I don't care what you're doing as long as you're doing it, you know. And 12, you get a break for the first clause. You know, having had a spiritual awakening, it's the only time they actually give a description rather than instruction. Like, oh, thank God, I can rest for one clause. I've had a spiritual experience, which is basically a profound personality change. And then we carry this message to others, which is sponsorship. It's, you know, and practices principles in all our affairs, which for me means obeying traffic laws, because I'm so willful. I'm so willful. And so for me, I had to practice step 12 by obeying Virginia's traffic laws. And so I think I'll end on that in terms of, on step 12, in terms of carrying this message. The Big Book is really a joyful book, and the whole chapter, it's got one paragraph on 6, one paragraph on 7, and an entire chapter on 12, which is sponsorship, carrying the message, an entire chapter. And it ends with this thing about how you will not want to miss. I mean, first of all, it says nothing will settle us down. Nothing, like working with others. And that's true of Bill, you know? I mean, he knew the drill, but until Ebby came to him and gave him the message, he didn't get sober, you know? And Bill spent 6 months working with others. And Dr. Bob knew actually more about the Oxford Group than Bill did. But Dr. Bob couldn't get sober until Bill carried the message to him, and he carried it to others. You know, so it's this kind of thing, like, I have to be willing to receive, and I have to be willing to give. I have to be willing to receive from my sponsor, and I have to be willing to give. And Dr. Bob, I mean, the Big Book says, Dr. Bob worked, on average, with one new alcoholic every day for 15 years. And it's really interesting, because Bill had the white light, where Bill was just, ooh, you know, and he stayed sober, but he had to keep it. It didn't last. He'd keep it, working with others. Dr. Bob says in the Big Book and also in a tape that he never had the real compulsion lifted. He had the desire, He had the compulsion lifted, where he was compelled against his will, but he had the desire to drink. And the way he kept it at bay was working with one new alcoholic every day for 15 years. And that's how he kept sober. And so, I mean, not only is it we do it to stay sober, but also as the Big Book ends, the first part, it's just the joy of living. Bill says you will not want to miss this, to watch this fellowship grow around you, to watch these sponsorees grow up. You know, you're going to feel like $1 million. Don't miss it. And so that's, you know, that's how I've approached it. And so that's why I like having 8 sponsorees whose name I can't remember, because every day someone's calling me and reminding me that I'm an addict and I want to give it away to keep it and get that joy. So thank you so much for this workshop today.